Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thank you for continuing to join me if you've already been listening. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. And when you get to my website, folks, and I know you're going there, right? Smallbusinessadvocate.com. You know, when you get to that site, the world's best small business site on the planet, maybe and certainly in cyberspace, be sure to subscribe to my free newsletter. It comes every week by email. And on Sunday, get you ready for the week ahead. And don't forget to check out our blog, which is not a new feature, but it's one of the newer features that we have. Hope you'll check that out when you get a chance. I think you'll find the way we present some of the things that we do in the blog makes it pretty handy. And you can come and get that, or we'll send it to you 5 days a week if you want. And don't forget, lots of other stuff there, archives, articles. My books are there. Our Brain Trust members are all listed there. Lots of stuff for you, and it's all free thanks to our corporate partners, except for the books. We ask you to pay for those. Mr. Michael Barrera is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Michael is an old friend of ours, as you know, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. You knew him first on this show as the ombudsman for the SBA, the Small Business Administration. And basically, he really became the utility infielder over there. If they needed a tough job to do, they had a tough job to do. They gave it to Michael. He got it done. And now he has taken the role. As you know, he's been here since this happened. He is now the president of the U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. But more importantly, he's our good friend. Michael, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim. Good to be here. It's been too long.
I know. It's good to talk to you. Well, you've been busy. We've been trying to run you down.
It's been a whirlwind, but it's been such a great experience for me. No, it was so good about it. Is that I still get to work with a lot of small businesses across the country.
Oh, yeah. Well, are you having fun? That's what I want to know.
I'm having a great time. You know, the things we get, you know, every time you get a chance to have some influence on a national constituency, that is always refreshing, particularly a national constituency that is both for me, small business, and for the Hispanic community. And it's just been a great experience for me.
Well, I'm really glad to know that you're having fun, because I know that's the kind of guy you are, and you're helping the folks around you to have fun. Tell us a little bit about, some people listening might not know what the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce is and what it does. Talk to us about that.
Well, the Hispanic Chamber, it's really important to note that we are a business organization first that works with Hispanic businesses. You know, a lot of people want to say you're an Hispanic organization that does business. No, we are still, first and foremost, a business organization that works with Hispanic businesses across the country. We have the Hispanic business community has exploded. Recent census numbers came out that, you know, Hispanic business has grown three times the rate of the national average, and Latina-owned businesses have grown six times the rate of the national average.
Why do you think that is?
Many reasons. I think one is that, you know, it's really the explosion of the Hispanic consumer. Right now, you know, there's about 2 million Hispanic businesses now. By the year 2010, there'll be 3 million. Right now, next year, I expect one out of every 10 businesses will be an Hispanic-owned business. And the reason, I think, is the main reason is the explosion of the Hispanic consumer market. Right now, the Hispanic consumer spends about $720 billion a year. And by the year 2010, it'll be $1 trillion.
And you know what else? Non-Hispanics like Hispanic things.
And that's
like the food. We like the cultural items. We like some of the clothes. I mean, not only have Hispanics started businesses, not only, and this is another important thing that has been pointed out to me by other folks, Michael, and that's that Hispanics trade with Hispanics.
Well, you know, actually, Hispanics are business people, and the consumer goes for the best product, as any consumer does. What's interesting, you made a good point, is that, you know, Hispanic, I guess, quote-unquote, items aren't just consumed by Hispanics. Right now, salsa outsells ketchup. Tortillas outsell Wonder Bread.
Hey, listen, we eat more salsa in my house than we do ketchup.
Oh, exactly. You know,
I promise you.
You look at all the commercials, you know, you know, they're eating salsa and they make fun of it being from New York or Texas. And you notice there's no Latins in those commercials.
That's right. No, it's true, and it's very exciting to me. I'm excited anytime I see anybody starting a small business, and I'm very, and frankly, Michael, I'm very proud of the Hispanic community for the stake that they're claiming in the marketplace.
You know, Hispanic community, like all Americans, want that American dream, and that's the dream of ownership, whether be owning your house, owning your own business so you can provide for your family. That is truly the American dream, and that's what makes this country so great.
Right,
and they want to participate in that dream.
Absolutely. Michael, stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. And when we come back, I want to ask Michael a few more questions about the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. And then we're going to move on to the topic of the day. And that's immigration and the new immigration bill. That's a little bit controversial right now. We're going to find out what Michael and the U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce think about this new bill. 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. We'll be right back.
Really makes it fast. One more thing.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Michael Barrera, the president of the U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Very important job. Michael, how many members does the U.S. Hispanic Chamber have?
Right now we have 215 chapters across the United States, and they represent those 2 million businesses that we have. And that's what's so great about it, Jim. We're seeing these chambers sprout up in areas that you wouldn't expect. You know, North Carolina, Georgia, South mm-hmm. Carolina, Alaska, even.
We have so what you're Canada. Doing is you're helping local Hispanic chambers. You're helping to spawn local Hispanic chambers.
We're kind of the national umbrella for all these chambers across the country. Yeah. And we work on advocacy issues, work on bringing affinity programs that help those small businesses.
And that's a little bit of a different model from a local chamber of commerce. What folks think of it as the traditional local chamber of commerce, isn't it?
Somewhat, because the local chambers of ours are like your local chambers, your local city chambers.
Right.
They work with individual businesses, and we
right.
work with some individual businesses, but we also work with the chambers themselves to develop them so they can develop their businesses.
Well, yeah, the U.S. Chamber has a much more dotted line connection between chambers of commerce. They can join or not join, but your Hispanic chambers, you really kind of foster those guys, don't you?
We foster them and we work with them, and we actually try to make them as strong as possible, because you know any network is only as strong as its weakest member.
Right.
And so we actually try to help them grow, and they help us, and because it's important for us is that we reach out to these chambers on a consistent basis to find out what's going on in their markets, so that we can be aware of what are the trends.
And when people who are members of a Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, what do you recommend? How do you recommend they what do you recommend that they do as far as the other chamber, the local the regular chamber, the traditional chamber, I'll say?
You know,
you recommend
thing
that they join both of them?
I think, you know, it depends what your business model is. You know, anybody yeah. that wants to do business, you've got to expand your network. And the more network of business contacts
right.
you have, the better you're going to do. And if your business is primary in the Hispanic market, you want to join that Hispanic chamber, because they're normally leaders and they know that market better than anyone else.
You definitely want to do that. But Michael, you know, you and I both know it doesn't cost that much to join a chamber.
No, it doesn't.
And I'd like to encourage all of your members to join the traditional chamber, the chamber that's the non-Hispanic chamber, I'll say it that way. And because, you know, as you said a minute ago, you need to expand your network. I just think that a chamber of commerce, whether it be Hispanic or whatever, is a great place for businesses to get together and to work and to cooperate and to not only make their businesses better but make the community better. And I know that's what you recommend too.
Exactly, because businesses really these small business communities are really the ones that actually start driving community.
There's
when
no
I was
question.
With the SBA, you saw the small businesses, and they were normally head of the PTAs, the school boards. They
right.
were the leaders in their community. It's important to join those, anything that produces and helps you grow your leadership skills.
Right, absolutely. Let's change horses. By the way, before we go any further, give us the website. Tell if someone wanted to join an Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, or if they wanted to start one, they'd like to start one in their community, they don't have one, how would they do that?
www.ushcc.com.
Say that
again.
Means
United States Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, but it's www.ushcc.com.
.com, okay. So check that out, folks, when you get a chance. Can they
you don't
find
have to be
where...
Hispanic to join a chamber either.
All right. Oh, thank you for that. Now, let's move over and talk about the issue of the day, and that's immigration. What happened this week?
It's a very emotional issue. Right now, about a month ago, you had the Sensenbrenner bill came out, 4437, which really concerned a lot of people. And it concerned not just the Hispanic community. It was very disconcerting to the business community.
And you know, why was that?
You know what's been left out of this whole conversation? When people will talk about how big corporations want this cheap labor. But they don't talk about the small businesses that rely on this labor, not only rely on this labor, but they rely on these immigrants as customers. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody says, you know, if you get rid of these folks, we can raise their wages, and, you know, everybody, all the American workers will be happy. But they don't realize, and the small businesses fight this all the time, if you raise those wages, you know, say they say $2 an hour, what's that going to do? This many of these small businesses are on such a thin margin.
That's right. They'd be out of business.
And they'd be out of business. So all these things they want to raise... You know, you would actually shut down a lot of small businesses,
mm-hmm.
and some of these industries that are very reliant on the migrant workers, like farming, construction. Mm-hmm. You put those industries out of business. There's a lot of small businesses that do business with these industries that are very, very reliant on that.
But again, you
take away that customer also.
Michael, this is an emotional issue, but it's a very complicated issue, because with all the things that you just said, we have to also balance that with the fact that there may be as many as 12 million illegal immigrants.
And you're exactly right.
And they're not all Hispanic either, by the way.
Exactly, and that's a great thing that you said there. You know, the main thing is that we're all very concerned about our borders. I'm concerned about the borders. Our chamber, one of our first principles, we must protect our borders.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to ask yourself, what's the best way to do it? The best way to do it will not be building a wall. That's not going to stop it. And it's going to be very, very expensive.
People go over walls and under walls and around walls.
You know, what I've always thought, Jim, is that, you know, you talk about immigration itself. You know, immigration, not only are you concerned about the immigrants that are here now, but the ones that will come in the future. One of the greatest presidents that we've ever had was Ronald Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
His grandparents were immigrants from Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
They came here because of the potato famine, and they came here for economic opportunity. Imagine if we had some of these laws that people are talking about. You could have kept out the greatest president in this country.
This is not a political issue. It's a social, cultural, and economic issue, isn't it?
Exactly. And, you know, you talk about, you know, Reagan, you know, as little as 25 years ago, he's in the middle of a Berlin trying to tear down a wall.
Right, exactly. Now we're talking about putting another one up. I'm going to get Michael to give us some specifics. What would the U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce do if they were writing the immigration bill? Tintail, stay with us. We'll be right back with Michael Barrera. Welcome back. It's 7-10. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate, and Michael Barrera is our guest. He's the president of the U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. And, Michael, you've got big doings going on next week in your offices, don't you?
Yes, we do. Next week is our legislative conference in Washington, D.C., and you know, we're focusing on three major issues. We're going to be focusing on immigration, telecommunications reform, and procurement. And we've got great speakers. We've got Senator McCain, Congressman Colby, Senator Brownback, Senator Hillary Clinton. We've got Al Gonzalez. We've got Congressman Baca, Congressman Becerra, Congressman Gutierrez. We've got all the CAFTA ambassors will be coming. So
you've got a pretty heady lineup there, Michael. Congratulations.
We really do. I'm really excited.
And that's
going to
be next week, right?
Next week, April 3rd through the 5th in Washington, D.C. at the Ronald Reagan Building.
Can folks attend that?
Definitely. And in fact, you know, at the same website that we gave, www.ushcc.com, all the information's there.
USHCC for U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce.com. Check it out. See what's going on there. Also, Michael, you are going to be on Lou Dobbs' show next week, aren't you?
I'm scheduled to appear on Lou Dobbs next Wednesday, I believe, between 6:30 and 7.
All right.
To talk about the immigration issue.
Folks, if you want to tune in to see what a handsome guy Michael is, and you already know what a smart guy he is, but you get to see him on Lou Dobbs' show. Michael, okay. the world has laid the responsibility to solve the immigration issue, this immigration challenge that we have, and it certainly is a challenge. They've laid it at your feet, and you have the responsibility of fixing it. What would you do?
Number one, we have to make it effective and fair so people can come into the country and do jobs that other people will not do. And that really is a reality. You know, recently...
That's a reality, California, no question about it.
You know, in California, 58 counties ran jobs for agricultural jobs, and not one U.S. citizen applied for those jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Those are jobs that, and the good thing is because of our society, Jim, we don't, in our high schools, we don't actually teach kids to, you know, you're going to be picking fruit, you're going to be sweeping floors,
and doing landscaping or laying bricks.
Exactly. And 13% of our population does not have high school diplomas, as opposed to 40 years ago when almost 50% did not have them. We've changed as a society.
Right,
but we still have a lot of labor jobs that need to be done, and these immigrants will do jobs that no one else will do. So that's number one. But we have to have a way of knowing who's here, and that's a security issue. Right now, because of the enforcement-only type of attitude, it's scaring people, and they're coming anyway. And we don't have enough people there to stop the inflow, so we have to be able to control the people coming in, know who's coming in. So we have to have a strong guest worker program that way we know who's here. They tell us that they're here. And we start collecting that tax money. We start making sure that they're protected with all the laws here. It becomes a more open society as far as these workers.
Now, that's how we take care of what happens from today forward. What do we do about the 12 million people who are already here?
We have to start finding out who they are. Right now, they feel like they're afraid to come out. And what has happened, Jim, is that we have a choice here. There's going to be an immigration economic system. We got to decide we want an open and legal economic system or an underground economic system. Right now, since they're afraid to come out of the shadows, we've got people who are getting paid in cash. We lose those tax money.
Mm-hmm.
We've got people who are getting the smuggling, and that's kind of happening.
Well, and the businesses who employ them are risking criminal charges.
Yeah, and a lot of these are small businesses that are employing them. They may not even know. I mean, what they're trying to do, Jim, and I used to be in charge of regulations at the SBA. When some of these bills would impose so many more regulations on small businesses to check these workers to see if they're legal or not. And that's going to be added burden to those small businesses. As we already know, is that, you know, small businesses pay 60% more to comply with federal regulations than big businesses. The big businesses will be able to handle it.
Right.
It's those small businesses that are going to be criminalized.
So I've got about a minute, Michael. How would you have these 12 million people, how would you have them come in out of the shadows?
You find a way. First of all, you give them a chance to come out of the shadows to register that they're here. Let their employers let them know that they're here.
And they're not going to be. Are we going to deport them, or are we going to let them stay here?
No, you can't deport them all. And if someone said, "How are you going to go to 12 million people, knocking 12 million doors, say, hey, you got to go home?" It's just not going to happen. We don't have the ability.
So the reality means we got to figure out how to let them stay, but we got to identify them.
That's exactly right.
And get them enrolled for pay taxes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a way we got to do it, Jim. And right now, a lot of them are paying taxes anyway. It's
estimated. The current bill, though, in Congress, I only got about 20 seconds. The current bill in Congress, is it going to do that?
No. The current bill in taxes wants to send them back. Wants to criminalize churches. Wants to criminalize small businesses that may or may not hire them.
Yeah.
Wants to criminalize people that want to help them. It's just not a good bill. It is not fair. It's not who we are as Americans. We're a very open society. We have
right.
to be a smart way of doing this.
Michael, thank you for being here. Thank you for giving us some clarity on this issue. And for all that you do for small business, Michael, we thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Michael Barrera, ladies and gentlemen, the president of the U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. He'll be back, I promise. Got to go for just a few minutes. I'm going to be back on the other side of the news. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.